welcome to Farm Chatter. We're your hosts, Julia Miller and Donna Kuntz. This podcast follows the efforts of two women and their cats as we reinvent, rediscover, and create our modern homestead. We'll share our tips, tricks, successes, and fails. Keep coming back. It's going to get interesting. Hello, welcome back to Farm Chatter, the official podcast of Five Feline Farm. We wanted to share with you a little bit today about some of the really cool things that are happening around the farm. Living in the country is just such a blessing for us, and the things that we are able to notice and see and experience.
Yeah, I think when we moved here, I had lived in town all my life, and but when we moved to the country, it's like I really started to notice so many cool things that I'd never noticed before in nature.
Yeah.
Different things, different habits of squirrels, and I don't know, just cool things.
And we do try to take a little bit of time in the morning, having a cup of coffee on the porch, once in a while out in the crib or on the front porch, and watch the sunrise, mm-hmm. or watch a sunset in the back orchard. Like you said, notice the squirrels' habits, raccoons, other wild animals that we get to just watch.
Yeah, and we've lived here long enough to know, based on some of their behavior, that there's a change in seasons. I mean, one example that we've noticed recently is there aren't as many birds at the feeders.
Right.
And we have a bunch of different bird feeders. We've really tried to create a habitat for all kinds of different animals so that we have a diverse farm with, you know, all kinds of different things. Things that other people maybe wouldn't want. You know, we do have things like raccoons and
groundhogs.
Those things that come around. But, you know, as long as they don't tear stuff up, we just tolerate that. And that's the way it is. But we've noticed lately that there's been a change in the bird activity. And we know what that usually means is that cooler weather is right around the corner.
Yes. And we've noticed that from year to year, we'll have different levels of populations of animals. So raccoons may be more prevalent one year. I haven't really seen too many opossums up in the woods this year. Last year, we did have some hanging around. And it just seems to rotate through the year. What is around, what's visible. But one of the coolest things for me this year is the monarchs.
Oh my gosh. I have never seen so many in my life.
I haven't either. It's like when you go to a zoo or a botanic garden with a butterfly house, and they have all the varieties, but we had that many monarchs.
Oh yeah.
Around the woods.
And the funny thing is, just a couple of days ago, I said to you, I really would love to see bunches of monarchs. Because, you know, older people have talked about, you know, they used to see these big bunches of monarchs as they went south for the winter. And, you know, I've never seen anything like that. We see a random one here and there.
Right.
We do. Keep milkweed, and you know, we have a couple different varieties of that around, and so we do everything to create a habitat for them. But you know, we do see them, and but not like masses of them.
And there's been such discussion over the past several years about the decline of pollinators and monarchs, and that habitat was being mowed over or taken out because it's a weed.
With chemicals.
Right. And we've really tried to keep those things. When you visit the farm, you will see milkweed standing.
Yeah, you'll see things.
You'll see thistle.
People consider weeds.
But those are very important in this cycle of life, in this chain of food, pollinator,
food for us eventually. Mm-hmm. And we have, over the last few days, had hundreds, yeah, hundreds of monarchs in the trees.
It's unbelievable.
And they're just landing. It's, I'm sure, part of the migration.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
South to Texas, Mexico. They actually migrate through here and go there. But it is wonderful. And I'll try to get a picture posted along with this podcast. They're kind of hard to catch. They're a little bit shy.
Yeah, they are shy because if you move just a little bit, they take off.
But we've taken some video.
Yeah, we've gotten some video stills of them.
And they're just beautiful, beautiful butterflies.
Yeah, we've just gone, they're near we have a deck that's kind of in the woods a little bit. That's the very first deck
I think
we built here. And so we go out and stand on this deck and they just fly all around us.
It's like,
and it's so peaceful.
Leaves.
Yeah, it's like
you
leaves.
You kind of think at first it's just like leaves falling, but it's not. It's actually butterflies landing and moving and flying. It's so wonderful to see and witness.
And when you start looking in the trees, we saw clusters.
Yes.
I mean, it was unbelievable. We did get some pictures. They're not great. Because as soon as you get a camera out, they all seem to disappear.
They're all very camera shy.
Yeah. And the first night that we went out, it was starting to get dark. So I did get a little video of them, but it was getting pretty dark. But you could tell what it was.
Yes.
But, yeah, but it's just been incredible. So that's one of the things that has been so awesome. And earlier on Friday, we saw the monarchs Friday evening, but earlier on Friday afternoon, there were tons of dragonflies.
Yes.
It's just like all of a sudden there were like masses of dragonflies
everywhere. It was like more than birds.
Yeah. It's like I started looking around. It's like, I kind of felt like Alice in Wonderland or something because it was just unbelievable because what a peaceful, amazing experience. And you know, it's just another thing that makes me so grateful for this piece of land.
Absolutely. This place has special properties, I believe, and that was one of them.
Yeah. So it made us really happy.
It did.
So we wanted to share that with you because yes, it made us happy.
Very, very happy. We want to remind everyone of the mercantile opening. We have some special things coming up, and I believe you've been creating some new things in the basement.
Yes, I have. One of the really cool things, I think we talked on the last podcast, that I kind of need this creative outlet, you know, especially when gardening season starts to end. So then now I have this laboratory, which I still need. I need
okay,
a lab coat.
You do need a lab coat.
I know.
I'll
I'm
see
thinking
what we
I
can do.
Do. I totally do. So that's a whole nother issue. But anyway, so I've been in the lab and we had gotten shampoo bars, I don't know, a few months ago.
Yes.
And loved them. I don't know if you've ever tried a shampoo bar, but they are amazing. They're, I think, more economical.
Yes.
These are all natural. And so I decided to create shampoo bars, Five Feline Farm shampoo bars.
And I love them.
Yeah. So I tried out a few different, I found some recipes and tried out a few and we tried them. I came up with one that I really liked and it's a go.
It is a go. So those will be available at the mercantile.
I've been making some. We tried them. We both tried for a couple of weeks. And, decided they're different. It's not going to be like you're squeezing out shampoo and it's going to lather like a regular shampoo will, but they are so, I don't know. I just loved them.
I do too.
And I know what's in it.
Exactly.
It's all natural stuff, all natural ingredients. And, we start with an olive oil base. Shampoo base and You know, so I just make them into simple bars, and they're good for travel. They have hardly any packaging at all, which we love.
That's what I like about them. I just lay mine on a little mat in the shower, and it's there and ready to go. So you don't have those, you know, seven bottles, plastic bottles, yeah, sitting around like everybody's shower does. For me, I have found that I don't need conditioner when I use this shampoo bar. And my hair still looks and feels good. So I really like them.
I really like them too. And we had a suggestion to do one specifically for dry scalp. And so why not?
Absolutely.
So I worked on that formula, and we now have, we will have one at the Merck. I have started them. They're, you know, they need to sit just a little bit before they get packaged up, but they will be ready by October 12th. But this is the same base, mango butter, olive oil, and castor oil, of all things.
Interesting.
And that's the main ingredients. And then this, the one for dry scalp, has tea tree oil and a and rosemary.
And tea tree oil is so healing and just good for everything.
Yeah.
We're finding a lot of uses for that. So I really like having that one in there.
Yeah, I do too. We put that in several different products because it's just, it has a lot of healing properties. So
it does.
So I'm working on those now, and we have some other products that I'm interested in doing, but you know, I can't do it all right now because I do still, thankfully, have a lot of things going on in the garden.
Right.
And, but it's fun. It's fun to be able to create. I'm creating new colors for soaps. I'm mixing all these colors and creating. So it's fun. And, it's something that I really needed to be able to do. And I appreciate being able to do that. And so I hope our customers appreciate the products. And, we're always good for feedback too.
Sure.
And, you know, if you use one of our products and have a suggestion, it's like, you know, maybe you could do something to make it a little bit different. We can try it. I mean, right. we can add and subtract ingredients and.
Right. We love those suggestions. Yeah. And that's really some of the beauty of running a small batch, yep, handcrafted operation, is we can make those adjustments quickly and easily to meet the needs of our customers.
Yeah. I mean, right now, small batch, you're talking small batch. The biggest batch of shampoo bars that I'm making right now is 8 bars a day because they have to sit,
mm-hmm,
and you have to get them out of the mold. And so it is very small batch.
But that is a time that you know you're getting a high quality and handcrafted product because it is small batch. So we can control a lot of things.
Yeah, this is not mass produced at all.
Not at all. And that's really what we are going for in, yep, our business, is to keep our quality very high by doing those small batches.
Mm-hmm. That's our main goal, really.
It is.
And I think our customers appreciate that.
They certainly seem to. They keep coming back.
That's right. And I appreciate that.
So don't forget the Mercantile Opening Farm Fest on October 12th from 9 to 3. Dodie and Dexter playing from 11 to 2. And other vendors will be set up as well. It's going to be fun. You don't want to miss this.
And there's mini pies.
And scones, all by special order.
So until next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Farm Chatter, the official podcast of Five Feline Farm. We hope you enjoyed our show. To find out more about our farm products, check out our online store at fivefelinefarm.com/mercantile. For even more Five Feline Farm goodness, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our blog at fivefelinefarm.com. Until next time.